Good evening. We're glad that you've been able to join with us tonight for our online broadcast from Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. If you have a Bible, could you turn with me, please, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, we're turning to chapter 9 this evening, and we're going to be reading from the first verse through to the end of verse 25, and then from verse 35 through to the end of verse 39. The Gospel of John, chapter 9. The verse 1, and the word of God says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbours therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore they said unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam, and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they say unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind, and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words speak his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether it be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Verse 35, please. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they that which see might be made blind. Amen. And we do know that the Lord will bless the public reading of his own word. With God's word open before us, let us ask the Lord for his help, even as we look into it this evening. Let's pray. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for another privilege to come and to gather around thy word this evening. Lord, we thank thee for another opportunity to hear the gospel message of the saving love of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the one who left the splendour of heaven, went willingly to Calvary's cross, and there he shed his precious blood. Lord, we thank thee that through the shedding of blood there is for forgiveness of sins. For Lord, thou hast accepted the sacrifice of thine only begotten Son. Lord, we thank thee that we do not this evening serve a dead Saviour, but praise God, we serve the one who rose victorious from the grave, the one who defeated death and whoever lives to make intercession at the Father's right hand. Lord, as we come this evening, we do pray that as we look into thy word, that thou would speak to us through it. Lord, that thou wouldst open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from thy word. Lord, we pray especially this evening for any that who as of yet have not put their trust in Christ for salvation. That even, Lord, as we examine this blind man in his encounter with Christ, that they would see that they are lost in sin and the darkness of sin has blinded them. And Lord, even this night that they would realize that they need to come to Christ for salvation. O blessed Holy Spirit, we pray that thou wouldst come and move, that thou wouldst open blinded eyes this evening. O Lord, we pray that thy name would be glorified even through the salvation of souls. O Lord, we do not lift up a denomination tonight. We do not lift up a man, but praise God, we lift up Christ. Lord, we pray that on all things, that thy name would be glorified, that Christ would be exalted and lifted high. And blessed Holy Spirit, we pray that thou wouldst come, continue on with us. Bless us as we wait on around thy word. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen. At the beginning of the previous chapter in John's Gospel, we read of how the Pharisees brought a woman caught in the act of adultery to the Lord. The Old Testament law demanded that she should be stoned. And the darkness of sin was on display. But the Lord asks each of her accusers to examine their own lives first. And if they find no fault in themselves, then they are to throw the first stone. Very quickly, the accusers leave. The Lord finds himself alone with this woman. And to that woman in the darkness of her sin, he proclaims that he is the light of the world, the only one who can bring the sinner from spiritual darkness into spiritual light and life. And now we come to the passage before us, that of the 9th chapter, and we meet a man blind from his birth. Oh, the disciples are quick to jump to conclusions about this man. Who sinned, he or his parents? But I do not want to dwell on this aspect of the passage this evening. Rather, I would like to consider this man for who he is and see the effect of his encounter with Jesus of Nazareth. We will examine the blind beggar and the Saviour. The blind beggar and the Saviour. And there are a few simple things that I would like us to notice this evening. First of all, let us consider the reality of the situation. The truth of this matter is that, although we are told very little of this individual, we can assume that he was familiar to all who would have passed that way. He would have been placed in the same spot day by day, and there he would have sat and he would have begged. The disciples asked the reason of the condition of this individual to the Lord, knowing that he had been blind from his birth. The Jews also knew the situation, for they reasoned amongst themselves as to whether it was the same man or not. But I want us to see that this man was unable to change his situation for himself. It was not within his power to restore his own sight. Nor did he sit, seeking his sight to be restored by those who would pass by, for it was a physical impossibility. Rather, he was resigned to the fact that this was his lot, and so he sought to beg alms of those who passed by, For what else could he do? I'm sure that as an infant, his parents would have tried every available option within their means to have this child examined to see if the condition could be corrected. But no earthly physician could do the impossible and make the blind to see. The picture before us is of one helpless to their own condition, blinded from birth, never having experienced the joy of the light shining around him in a darkened world. And, born in our sin, we are all as blind men to the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. Without the light of the world shining upon us, as we continue on making the best of each day that comes our way, each situation that crosses our path. And yet, so often, with a dream unfulfilled or a desire yearned for, vainly attempting to make the most of what we have. The reality of the situation was that no matter what this man tried to do of himself, he was blind and there was no cure. But I want us also to notice the reaction of the Saviour. The reaction of the Saviour. The disciples looked at the problem before them, but the Saviour saw the potential. For the disciples, there was a theological puzzle: who had sinned? But to the Saviour, there was opportunity to show forth the works of him who sent him. There are always two ways to look at a situation. But is it not the case that so often we jump at the first thing that crosses our minds? The Lord recognised that there was a work to do. And it is of this that he reminds his followers, not just then, but still in our times. Again, we repeat verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The Lord gave the example that we must work while we have opportunity, and that all the business of a Christian must be done to the glory and honour of God. By what would take place in the life of the blind man that day, God would be glorified. Verse 3, the Lord says that the works of God should be manifest in him. That day the Saviour passed the way of a sightless sinner. I'm sure that as the Saviour stopped and gazed upon this man, yes, he was probably aware of the Lord's presence, although quite unaware of the significance of who it was who stood over him, or the outcome of that encounter. Perhaps others of the Pharisees at certain times had such a discussion before this man and in his presence, but this time it was different. This time the great physician stood before this man. The man who sat in both physical and spiritual darkness that day would receive both physical and spiritual sight. Is this not what the Lord meant when he described himself once again as the light of the world? That day, his light would shine upon one without hope. My friend, today as you listen to the message that Christ is the light of the world, praise God, Christ is passing this way. The hymn writer penned the words, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." As the message of the gospel goes forth, he promises that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from that which holds you in the darkness of your sin. Not one of us deserve the mercy of God, but the Lord has promised to save us if we call upon him. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah tells us that it is only because of his mercy that we are not consumed. That day, the blind man experienced the mercy of God. And my friend, so can you even this evening. I want us now to consider the reaction of the blind man. And we see that there was a requirement for obedience. There was a requirement for obedience. The Saviour did something strange that day. Verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. The question could be asked, why would the Lord just not heal this man, as he had done with others by the power of his word? Well, friends, many in today's society want the benefits of Jesus in their life, but there is little commitment on their part. And so it was in the days of our Lord. Or we could consider those 10 lepers who were healed from their leprosy. Yet only one returned and gave thanks to God, and the Lord saved him. As it was even with the waters of Jordan, into which Elisha commanded Naaman to dip 7 times, so it was in this instance. The clay of itself had no healing properties. Rather, the cure required obedience on the part of the blind man. In this miracle, the Lord took the initiative. The blind man did not come to Jesus and ask to be healed. Jesus came to him, and he expected the blind man to respond in faith. It was not simply good enough for the blind man to believe that this clay could and would open his eyes. Nor was it sufficient for him to acknowledge that if he carried out the command of the Lord, he would receive his sight. Many across our land believe that Jesus lived and died. Oh, they will testify to that fact. But they are not prepared to accept his way of salvation. Perhaps there is one here tonight, listening in the same situation. Or you have heard the gospel time and time again, and yet you reject God's way of salvation. Or you may say, yes, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven. He was born in a manger. He lived a perfect life. He went to Calvary's cross, and there he died. But you are not prepared to accept that salvation is only by trusting in him. Or you're trying to live a good and acceptable life in the hope that God will accept you into heaven when you pass out into eternity because of what you have done. Friends, there is only one way of salvation, and that is by confessing your sin and your unworthiness before the Lord, realizing that you are a sinner and so separated from him, and acknowledging that you have offended God and that your sin deserves its just reward. And by trusting fully in his work when he shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. It is nothing of ourselves that can save us. I wonder, are you ready to place your life entirely into his keeping? The words of the Saviour that day required complete and total obedience for salvation from the blindness which this man had lived with for all of his days. And so it is that you and I can be saved from the spiritual blindness in which the devil holds us captive. Are we ready to take Christ at his word? Are we ready to obey his command, even tonight, and to repent of our sin and to trust him? But let us notice also that not only was obedience required, but that the response was immediate. The response was immediate. At the end of verse 7, we read, he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The blind man that day took Christ at his word. He did not delay in doing that which the Lord had asked him to do. He did not put off going to the pool of Siloam. He didn't consider going to another pool or another fountain to wash his eyes. He did not say, perhaps I'll see what my friends reckon I should do. Nor did he consider that he was too young. He didn't put off thinking that tomorrow was another day and really he had plenty of time. The command of the Lord was so simple that he did not have to seek clarification. All he had to do was take Christ at his word and obey. my friend. Perhaps you have known the calling of the Holy Spirit in your life time and again. You have heard the challenge of God's word. Yet perhaps even you have seen others around you pass out into God's eternity. And oh, they have been as warning bells sounding in your ears, and yet you chose to ignore them. My friend, how long will you delay? On the 29th of November 2013, the night before Scotland's St Andrew's Day, many people were enjoying the pleasures of this world on a night out in the Clutha Bar in Glasgow. Suddenly, the sound of the band playing was disturbed by a loud noise from outside the building, followed by something that sounded like a giant explosion, one witness said. We didn't know what had happened, he continues. There was panic, and people were trying to get out of the door. On the outside of the building, there was a scene of devastation. A police helicopter on a routine night patrol was flying over the streets of the city. In the cockpit, the alarm bell began to sound. The pilot realized that the alarm warned of low fuel. And he checked the instruments, but in the words of investigators, he took a chance that the low fuel warnings were wrong. He drew his own conclusion that the system was faulty and continued on. The pilot's checklist stipulated that he should land the aircraft within 10 minutes of a fuel warning. But that evening, he threw caution to the wind, as it were, and went on his own steam, thinking that he knew better. Within 10 minutes, the engine gave a few splutters and fell from the sky, crashing onto the roof of the Clutha Bar. The events of that evening led to 10 souls being ushered out into God's eternity, due to one not heeding the warning bells which sounded loud and clear. Unsaved friend, the warning bells of the gospel are sounding tonight, but they will not sound forever. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Oh, I'm sure I don't need to remind you that you are not indestructible. But friend, what if tonight was your last opportunity to come to Christ for salvation? Oh, the blind man was shown the way of the Lord, and he obeyed immediately. He obeyed immediately. Friend, why will you not do the same, ere you are punished for all eternity in hell by rejecting God's only way of salvation? But we also see that the result was satisfying. The result was satisfying. We read, he went his way therefore and was washed and came seeing. Well, many people give the excuse for not coming to Christ that they could never keep it. They could never keep it. But this blind man followed the instruction of Christ, and the result did not disappoint. He did not just receive partial sight. No, as the Lord said, his sight was restored, and it was wholly restored. This individual now knew the beauty of God's creation, and his life took on a whole new perspective and meaning. And the work that the Lord said he would do, that work he completed. And so it is with the work of salvation. If we were to turn over to the next chapter, John chapter 10 and verse 28, we read the words of the Lord. And he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Whoever the Lord saves, that person he also keeps. Oh friends, we are simply to trust and obey. May I tell you this evening, Christ is not a disappointment. Or you can take him at his word, and you can trust in his word, for his word is sure. Blind man, with countless others in the Lord's day, and throughout the ages, could and continue to testify to this fact. Are you searching for something more in your life? Perhaps constantly striving for a better job, a new car, a bigger house. All things that will make your life easier and will help your family. And there's nothing wrong with that. But they are material things that you want to, as it were, scratch that itch. Only Christ can bring true and lasting satisfaction. Will you not experience that same satisfaction which the blind man experienced that day? Christ, the light of the world, shone light and life into his darkened soul. Not only did he receive physical light, but he also received spiritual light. And dear friend, it can be the same for you. Oh, you can see a satisfying result if you'll only put your trust in Christ for salvation. Oh, he will not be a disappointment. But as we close, I want us to notice that the reaction to this miracle was stirring. The reaction was stirring. Oh, what a change in this man. Such was the difference that all those round about could see it. The joy shone out of his own life. He could not help but testify of this man Jesus, who had made the clay and put it on his eyes and told him to go and wash in the pool. The change in his life was evidence that he had been with Jesus. It is now the talk of the community and those round about. And lives changed by the Lord Jesus Christ will be noticed by others. Oh yes, there was for this man opposition from some, but the name of the Lord was glorified. And my friend, the name of the Lord is always glorified in the salvation of souls. As we bring this meeting to a close, we have considered the reality of the situation. This was a man without hope. We see the reaction of the Saviour. The Saviour met this man at the very point of his need. And he can do the same for you even this evening. Oh, but it was all of Christ and nothing of the blind man. We noticed that the requirement for this man to receive his sight was simple obedience to the word of God. And friend, tonight you can be saved from the darkness of your sin. You can be saved from a lost eternity by simply obeying the words of Christ. But we also notice that the response to the command of the Lord was immediate. Well, this man did not delay. Friend, can I ask you again, when you put off salvation to some other time, a more convenient season? Friend, tonight, what if this tonight is your last opportunity? Well, yes, the response was immediate, but we've seen that the result was satisfying. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth from the splendour of heaven to show men and women and boys and girls the way of salvation. He went willingly to Calvary's cross. He bore the punishment that you and I deserve for our disobedience to God. Praise his name. By the shedding of his precious blood, the wrath and justice of God was satisfied. And he rose from the grave on the third day, defeating the power of death. But my friend, it is only by trusting Christ alone that we can have the assurance of sins forgiven. Will you, like the blind man, take Christ at his word this evening? Will you not trust and obey? Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer, please. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word again this evening. Lord, we thank thee that you do show us our need through your word. Lord, we thank you that through your word that salvation is plainly laid before us. Lord, we thank you that you went willingly to Calvary's cross and you died as the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Lord, we thank you for your precious blood that was shed. Lord, we know that it is only by the blood of Christ that we are cleansed from our sin. Lord, we thank you that you rose again victorious over the grave. Lord, we thank you again tonight for the message of the gospel, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Blessed Holy Spirit, we pray that thou shalt continue to strive with men and women, boys and girls, even tonight. Lord, we pray that as the voice of man grows silent, that thy voice will speak on. Lord, we pray that thy name will be glorified, even through the salvation of souls. So, Lord, continue with us. Part us with thy favour and in thy fear, for it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen.